Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Peace. I'll bet that's something that you could use a little bit of today. Peace. I'll bet you it's something you could have used a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Peace. What a difference it makes to have in your life. Now, there's one thing for certain. There are certain roadblocks that keep us from obtaining peace. You know, things that are really unhelpful for being peace-filled. Kind of like when your neighbor comes up to you and nestles up to the side of you and says, you know, you should be a little more relaxed and peace-filled in your life. That doesn't work. In fact, it increases our stress, it increases our anxiety, we begin to think about how we look to others, and we wonder if we'll ever be peaceful. That's a roadblock. That exact thing happened to me in the very beginning of the stay-at-home time during the coronavirus pandemic. It was one of those days. You can relate, you've probably had a few of them in the last month. It was one of those days that I missed the recycling bin, which meant that it would sit in our garage billowing over for the rest of the week. It was easy to remind myself of how I missed that opportunity every time I went into the garage. Then there was the technology problems happening with our children who are taking classes online. We had a few foibles with that. Add in the routine changes with my wife and myself. Add in the doom and gloom news that was reporting about how the next week was going to go and then how the 2 months were going to go and then how things were going to go in a year. It was at that moment that I walked outside, and sure enough, across the street, my neighbor advised, "Jeremy, this is an important time for you to be relaxed and peace-filled." Didn't help. The stress went up, anxiety went up. What am I doing wrong? Am I showing that I'm not so peaceful? It was a roadblock to peace. You can't just manufacture it. You can't just work hard and have more peace in your life. It doesn't work that way. My friends, the Apostle Paul nailed it. He figured out how to obtain peace. And I think his strategy is spelled out in our reading this morning that you heard at the beginning of our worship, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Here it is. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, offer your requests and petitions to the Lord." Fancy words. What exactly is that strategy about? What was Paul talking about? Well, to help us in this message and for us to really unpack what Paul was talking about, I have a little presentation here to really unpack what Paul was saying in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Now, I want you to know, it's a little, I did not have my children draw this. This is me. Blame me for all the problems that you see here. But I think this is truly helpful. Before we understand what Paul talks about and understands what peace is about, you see, you got to understand that Paul talks really here in Philippians chapter 4 about two more roadblocks to peace. One roadblock to peace that Paul references here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, happens when we overestimate our fear. When we do that, the next thing that comes is anxiety. Looking at that recycling bin filled and billowing over on that one day might lead me to think, man, my entire week is going to be ruined. That's overestimating fear. Or for our students that are plugging in here with our with this worship opportunity, you may miss one of your assignments in your online class and the technology may not work. You may come to the conclusion that the entire year is over. That's not really true. That's overestimating fear. That's not helpful. You know, in verse 6, Paul does bring up anxiety. Anxiety is a word in the Greek that comes from the word merimenao, which means literally a divided mind. A divided mind is something that happens when we think about the future and all the possible outcomes that might come in the future. And then we also think about how we might control those outcomes and the future that might come our way. And then all of a sudden, when we can't control what those future outcomes are and how the future is going to go, we begin to overestimate our fear and anxiety sets in. You probably do that. I do that. That, my friends, is a roadblock to peace. Do not be anxious, Paul says. Now, there's a second roadblock to peace that Paul doesn't really mention here in Philippians, but I want to uplift it here for the sake of teaching and for this message here this morning. It happens when we underestimate our fear. We underestimate it. I remember when I was in confirmation class, I was told that there were three enemies: sin, death, and the devil. I'd come back the next week, we'd repeat it. We'd come back to the end of the year, we'd repeat it: sin, death, and the devil. I remember that. But then growing up as an adult, maybe you can relate, we forget that we have enemies. A pandemic happens, strain happens in a relationship, a change in routine, fear sets in, and you see, all of a sudden, you may start to do different things, like underestimating the fear that you're experiencing. And the next step to do when you underestimate the fear is you might pretend as if those challenges are not there, that they're not real. Or you may even do this. You may think that you're strong enough to overcome it all by yourself. You overcame that challenge 5 years ago. Why not what you're facing today? But you see, that is a roadblock to peace as well, because that leads us to self-reliance. Two roadblocks to peace: anxiety, self-reliance. The beauty of Paul's strategy in Philippians chapter 4 and throughout his life, I believe, is that Paul never overestimated the fear and trouble that was inside and outside coming upon him, and he didn't underestimate. He met the fear and troubles in his life with prayer and thanksgiving. Listen to it again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, offer your requests, your petitions to the Lord, and peace comes. You know, there was someone who actually did this strategy, and I don't know if they planned to do it, but it worked out for them pretty well. Her name was Amanda Eller. Maybe you heard about her and her journey on the island of Maui last year. She decided to go out for just a short walk, 3 miles in length. She didn't bring her water canteen with her, and she didn't bother with her cell phone. But when she went on her hiking journey on her path, it was about 3 miles. She went off the path about 15 feet, and that's when tragedy set in. She fell down a ravine and broke her leg. The next day, she got up and tried to climb on out of that ravine, and she tore her meniscus. She stayed down in that ravine for 17 days. Now, how did she survive? Well, she did a lot of things that were helpful. First off, she picked some of the brush and put it over her body to warm her on those cold Maui nights. That was helpful. She also ate wild strawberries and moths, insects to give her some protein. That certainly helped. She actually spent a night in a wild boar's den to cover herself from the rain. She survived a flood that washed away her shoes. She survived after 17 days, but what is interesting is this. She said that at a critical moment, and it happened on the second day, as she was facing starvation, isolation, physical limitations, fear and anxiety, she did one thing that set her on the path for peace. She prayed. She prayed on day two that her fears would go away. And they did. All the way from day 2 all the way to day 17. She didn't overestimate her fear. She didn't underestimate her fear. She met her fear and her challenges with prayer. But here's the critical piece to this. Paul says it's not just prayer. It's prayer with thanksgiving. Do you realize how strange that is? Now think about it. Do you give thanksgiving before you actually receive a gift? No, you don't. It's silly. You wouldn't thank someone for their birthday gift a week before you actually opened up the package. That's silly. You would never do that. You wouldn't thank someone for the meal that they provided for you 3 days before you even ate it. How would you even know if you like the spaghetti and meatballs? No, you wouldn't do such things. So what is Paul talking about here? Prayer with thanksgiving? This is the critical part, my friends, to peace. I don't control the future. We don't know what's going to happen next week with our health, if it's going to be good or if it's going to go downhill. We don't know if the weather's going to be good next week or if the forecast is going to go south. We don't know how the coronavirus is going to play out. If there's one thing we've learned, the news is changing every week. We don't know how the next year is going to go. But my friends, when we pray with thanksgiving, we're saying this: Lord, I don't know the future, but I'm thanking you for whatever comes because you are in control. An old Lutheran prayer actually said it very well. Lord, let it be enough for me to know that your hands are the ones sustaining, preserving, and supporting me in life. And you see, when we know that, and when we say that prayer, peace comes. That's when peace is delivered. Meeting fear with prayer and thanksgiving. Peace surrounds us. It fills us. It overwhelms us. And the peace we have is much larger than any of the fears and anxieties that we experience. Well, you know, maybe you're seeing some new things in the new routines that you have in life. I know that I am. One thing that I noticed this last week that I didn't notice before was my next door neighbor's dog. Out on the sidewalk, walking very happily along, wagging its tail, licking its tongue, curious about everything. And as I looked at that dog, I thought about my life. Inside, I was stuck, I was isolated, my face was a little bit more stern. I didn't have any of that curiosity of that dog. And I thought for a moment, boy, I wish I was a little bit more like that dog. Well, you know what? We should be a little bit more like that dog. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, our reading today, that we should consider the lilies of the field too. And we should consider the birds of the air, because they don't worry about the future. Animals don't worry about the future. They know that things are going to go well for them, or things are going to be delivered to them as they expect. Now, of all the creatures on earth that have ever been created by God, shouldn't we be ones to also live with confidence about the future as well? God loves you so much that he's secured your future through his son, Jesus Christ. The future is in his hands, and your future is secure. In fact, the past has been secure. God has provided house and home, food and shelter, weather and friends, and all that we need to support this body and life, as we say. And God will continue to do that. And that surrounds us and fills us with peace for today. Now, you may be saying, as we close out, that's a nice thought. Thank you, Pastor. But you know what? You're not talking about my circumstances. I'm isolated. I'm facing physical limitations. My life has been upended. The plans that I had for this summer are over. I have sympathy for you if that's the case, and empathy as well. And you might be saying, you know, prayer with thanksgiving, that sounds good, but how does that really work? Well, here's the thing, my friends. This isn't just a strategy. The Apostle Paul lived it. You know the things that we're facing? Isolation. When he wrote these words, he was in isolation. He was in prison. You know, facing death? Well, Paul was facing death, as he wrote Philippians chapter 4. Facing difficult authorities who threatened to take away his life, well, Paul was facing that as he wrote these very words. And the beautiful thing is he wrote these words, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, offer up your request to the Lord." Paul finishes it off with this in verse 7. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will," not might or may or there's a 50% chance, "will guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let me repeat that for you. "The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord." May you live with that peace today. Now, we do want to actually take a moment as I conclude my message for you to think about and reflect upon your emotions. God's offer of peace with this slide that will be featured here for about 20 seconds. Go ahead and think about these things and have a moment of prayer either after this or after this worship opportunity is over. God's peace be with you.